Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Welcome to another beautiful broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. I am Moré Isha Yisrael from the House of Yisrael, located at 2330 Kemper Lane, in Cincinnati, Ohio, here to bring you nothing but the truth. We'd like to say shalom to everyone listening and watching in our internet audience, for we know the only reason you have tuned into our program is because of your great fear and your great love towards the mighty Yah. And who is this Yah? Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, earth, and sea, and all that therein is. Yahweh is the only judge, the only lawgiver, the only king, the only redeemer, and the only savior of Israel and the world. And Yahweh is the one that has raised us up to bring you his words of truth, and that's what we will do. And today, I'm going to show you the word of Yahweh when it pertains to the end of the year, specifically his holy feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, which will begin in a couple of days. God's Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Ingathering, is the 15th of the 7th month. Tomorrow will be the 14th of the 7th month, and the next day will be the 15th of the 7th month, and it will be the Feast of Tabernacles. You'll read about this great time in the book of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter. Starting in the 34th verse, it reads, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this 7th month shall be a feast of tabernacles for 7 days unto Yahweh. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. On the 8th day shall be a holy convocation unto you. And you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. It is a solemn assembly, and you shall do no servile work therein. These are the feast of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, everything upon his day, besides the Sabbaths of Yahweh, and besides your gifts, and besides all your vows, and besides all your freewill offerings, which you give unto Yahweh. Also, in the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto Yahweh 7 days. On the first day there shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. And you shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, in the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before Yahweh your Elohim 7 days. And you shall keep it a feast unto Yahweh 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am Yahweh your Elohim." So this is the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Ingathering. Day, or this time, is when the Creator wanted us to gather ourselves together unto him and bring our harvest, our ingathering, at the end of the year. And I will show you this end of the year in the book of Deuteronomy, 31st verse, the 10th chapter reads, "And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles." So what's happening at the end of the 7 years It's the solemnity of the year of release in the Feast of Tabernacles. When Yahweh, when all Israel has come to appear before Yahweh, your Elohim, in the place which ye shall choose, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. So this is the end of the year when the Feast of Tabernacles occurs. Also look in the book of Deuteronomy, the 16th chapter. In Deuteronomy, the 16th chapter, you start reading in verse 13. It reads, "You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. After that you have gathered in your corn and your wine, and you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter and your manservant and your maidservant and the Levite, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are within your gates. 7 days you shall keep a solemn feast unto Yahweh your Elohim in the place which Yahweh shall choose. Because Yahweh your Elohim shall bless you in all your increase and in all the works of your hands, therefore you shall surely rejoice. 3 times in a year shall all your males appear before Yahweh your Elohim in the place which he shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall appear, they shall not appear before Yahweh empty." And when does this happen? The Feast of Tabernacles, the last feast of the year, when you have brought in all corn and your wine, after you've gathered it all in. Well, when are you going to gather it all in? In the end. And you're going to go and bring it to Yahweh, an offering. Because you're to celebrate for all the goodness that Yahweh gave you this year. Yahweh made an increase for you, gave you an increase. So celebrate before him, and he wants you to do that in the place which he shall choose. As he said, not where you decide. And also look in the book of Exodus, the 23rd chapter. In Exodus, the 23rd chapter, we'll start in the 14th verse. 3 times you shall keep a feast to me in the year. You shall keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded you, in the time appointed, in the month Abib. For in it you came forth out of the land of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And the Feast of Harvest, the feast, the first fruits of your labors, which you have sown in the field, and the Feast of Ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when you have gathered in your labors out of the field. 3 times in the year all your males shall appear before Yahweh. 3 times in the year. And when is the Feast of Ingathering? When is the Feast of Tabernacles? At the end of the year. And just to show you one more place where the Creator had us do this. Exodus, the 34th chapter, we'll begin reading in verse 21. 6 days you shall work, but on the 7th day you shall rest. In earing time and in harvest, you shall rest. Which is that? What does that mean? So don't get it confused that there's some space where you don't have to. No. Earing time is sowing time. It also coincides with winter. And in harvest, you shall rest. Harvest is what coincides with what you would call spring and summer. And you shall observe the feast of weeks of the first fruits of wheat harvest and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. Three times in the year shall all your men, children, appear before Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel. So we see it's established, it's a doctrine that you are to keep the Feast of Ingathering, which is also called the Feast of Tabernacles, at the end of the year. And we read that this is the seventh month. This is the end of the year. I know they taught you what they taught you, but this is actually the end of the year, because the year is determined differently than what you've determined the year. Even though from one beginning of the year to the other beginning of the year is 12 months. But the end of the year, just like the end of a day, is at the seventh month, just like the end of a day is in the evening, but from one day to the next is morning until morning. And in this seventh month, we have the end of the year, the Feast of Tabernacles. But this is, as we read, to only be kept in the place where Yahweh shall choose. So where did Yahweh choose to place his name? Go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter. In Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter, around the 12th verse, and you shall rejoice before Yahweh your Elohim and your sons and your daughters and your men servants and your maid servants and the Levite that is within your gates, for as much as he has no part nor inheritance with you. Take heed to yourself that you offer not your burnt offerings in every place that you see, but in the place which Yahweh shall choose in one of your tribes. There you shall offer your burnt offerings, and there you shall do all that I command you. So you got to do it where Yahweh told you to do this. And where is this place? Let's see if we can find this place. If you go, let me see if I can show you a couple of things. Go to the book of 1 Samuel, the first chapter. In the first verse. Now there was a certain man of Ramoth Dayim Zophim of Mount Ephraim. And his wife, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephratite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Kana, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Kana had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto Yahweh of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of Yahweh, were there. And when the time was came that Elkanah offered, he gave Peninnah his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But to Kana he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Kana, but Yahweh had shut up her womb. So when is this? He did this yearly. And there's only one, there's two different times where you might go yearly, but this time he went with his, I'm sorry, there's three different times where you go yearly. But this is the time where he brought all his family. They celebrated before Yah. This was an ingathering, tabernacles. And at this time, it was in Shiloh. Now, did Yahweh say his name is in Shiloh? Or this is where the Ark of the Covenant was. This is where his tabernacle rested in the territory of Yosef, because Yahshua was the one that settled in Yosef territory, and that's where the tabernacle was. But then you'll also see in the book of 1 Samuel, or 2 Samuel, I should say, in the 6th chapter, in the first verse, again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from there the Ark of Elohim, whose name is called by the name of Yahweh of hosts, that dwells between the cherubims. And they sat the Ark of Elohim upon a new cart, and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio of the house of Abinadab, of the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, according to accompanying the Ark of Elohim. And Ahio went before the Ark, and David and all the house of Israel played before Yahweh on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even of harps, on harps, and on psalteries, and on tambourines, and on cornets, and on cymbals. When they came to Nakon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the Ark of Elohim and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of Yahweh was kindled against Uzzah, and Elohim smote him there for his error. And there he died by the Ark of Elohim. And David was displeased because Yahweh had made a breach upon Uzzah. And he called the name of that place Peri Uzzah unto this day. And David was afraid of Yahweh that day and said, how shall the Ark of Yahweh come to me? So David would not remove the Ark of Yahweh unto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the Ark of Yahweh continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite for 3 months. And Yahweh blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told to the king, David, saying, Yahweh has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertains to him because of the Ark of Elohim. So David went and brought up the Ark of Elohim from the house of Obed-Edom unto the house city of David with gladness. So now you see, David was bringing the Ark up to Jerusalem, or the city of David. Is that where Yahweh decided to place his name? Well, you can read, if that is the case, in the book of 1 Chronicles, the 6th chapter. Or 2 Chronicles, rather, the 6th chapter. The 6th chapter of 2 Chronicles. Verse 1 reads, then Solomon said, Yahweh has said that he would dwell in the thick darkness, but I have built a house of habitation for you. and a place for your dwelling forever. And the king turned his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel. And all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, blessed be Yahweh Elohim of Israel, who has his hands fulfilled that which he spoke with his mouth to my father David, saying, since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build a house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people. But I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there, and I have chosen David to be over my people Israel. So now we see that this is the place that Yahweh has decided to place his name, Jerusalem. So the Feast of Tabernacles is to be kept there. You're to gather yourselves together there. You're to gather yourselves together there and dwell in booths there and celebrate before Yahweh there and bring your offerings and your ingatherings there, nowhere else. So are we able to keep this holy day in its entirety anywhere else? No, we can recognize it, acknowledge it, that it is this time, and praise Yahweh for his mercy. But can we build booths? And are we allowed to do sacrifices and hold this celebration? No, not anywhere but the place where Yah has placed his name, the law states. And it's at the end of the year. So what do we do at this point, at this time? How do we understand this time and its importance? First, we understand the commandment that Yahweh gave us. When to do it, where to do it, how to do it. Then we could begin to understand why he wants us to do this. And let me show you what he said back in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter. So we can start to understand the purpose of this time. In Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, in verse 41, it says, and you shall keep it a feast unto Yahweh 7 days in the year, and it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born, you shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am Yahweh Elohim. So Yahweh wants us to remember that we dwelt in booths when we came out of Egypt. We didn't come out of Egypt and go right into sealed houses, go right into mansions and castles. We came out of Egypt and we dwelt in tents, in booths. We traveled in the wilderness and we had to pitch tents because it was a experience of humility. It was an experience that taught us that all we had, all we need, and all that was available to us was Yahweh. You didn't have the comfort of your carpet, your couch, your fireplace, your walls with your flat screens, your artwork on your walls, the designs of your house, the upholstery and whatever else, all the things that you do when you have your own little apartment, house, or big house, big apartment, loft, However, these nice little settled places that you worked for and put into and invested your time into, yeah, that's when you become established. Yahweh wanted you to see that you had to pitch tent where he told you to pitch tent. Not where you wanted to. For instance, if you go to the book of Numbers, we'll see what Yahweh says. I believe I want the first chapter in the book of Numbers. Second chapter, verse 1. And Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard, with the sign of their father's house, far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. And on the east side, toward the rising of the sun, shall they of the standard of the camp of Yehuda pitch throughout their armies. And Nachshon, the son of Aminadab, shall be captain of the children of Judah. And his host, and those that were numbered of them, were 74,600. And those that do pitch next to him shall be the tribe of Issachar. And Nathanael, the son of Zuar, shall be captain over the children of Issachar. And his host, and those that were numbered thereof, were 54,400. Then the tribe of Zebulun and Eliab, the son of Helon, shall be captain of the children of Zebulun. And his host, and those that were numbered of him, were 57,400. And they that were numbered in the camp of Yehuda were 100,400 throughout their armies. These shall first set forth. On the south side shall be the standard of the camp of Reuben, according to their armies, and according to the captain of the children of Reuben shall be Eleazar, and the son of Shedurah. And what are they all doing? They're getting orders of where they're to pitch. And who is to pitch with them? It's not like how you do today. You go up on apartment.com, Zillow or something, and you say, I want to live here, I want to live there, I want to do that. No, Yahweh told you where to settle yourself. Yahweh told you where to pitch your tent. Yahweh told you who to pitch your tent with, who to pitch your tent by, because this was all by the commandment of Yah. In the Feast of Tabernacles, you're to remember that your ancestors dwelt in booths. You're to remember that you didn't always have this great increase that Yahweh has blessed you with, that you brought out of your field, which is why you have the ingathering and celebrate before Yah, so you can fear him. You pitch where Yahweh told you to, so you can celebrate before him and give him the thanks and praise as you should. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter, we'll read more about the reason why Yahweh wants you to do these things the way he says. In Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter, verse 22 says, you shall truly tithe all the increase of your seed that the field brings forth year by year. When would this happen? When are you going to be able to give a tenth of what your seed brought forth year by year? You obviously can't do this in the beginning of the year because your seed hasn't brought forth all its increase yet. So therefore, it has to be done at the end of the year when you have been able to get all your increase. And you shall eat before Yahweh Elohim. And as you do this, as you bring forth your increase, you bring a tenth to Yahweh. In this tenth you bring to Yahweh, in the place which he shall choose to place his name there. The tithe of your corn, of your new wine, and of your oil, and of the firstborn of your herds, and of your flocks, that you may learn to fear Yahweh, your Elohim, always. Meaning what? You're bringing forth this tenth because Yahweh said the tenth belongs to him. It's his, not yours, but his. And you bring that to him to recognize that you're acknowledging what he said, that this tenth belongs to you. So everything you gave me all year, all the flocks that I was able to produce, all the seed that I was able to grow from, and all this increase that was I was able to bring out and stock up, here is just a tiny tenth. It's all you want. Here it is. I'm setting it aside, and I'm bringing it to you at the end of the year. Because now I have it all. And here it is. And when did this happen? This happened in the end gathering, at the Feast of Tabernacles, at the end of the year, in the seventh month. You see, that's why you can't go by the Jewish calendar or the Gregorian calendar of when Yahweh's seventh month is and when his Feast of Tabernacles is. Some people would celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles a week or two ago. And I still got tomatoes growing in my garden because it is not the end, because the harvest hasn't finished. And so it needs to end. And that's why you see the weather still warm, but it's starting to change. It's still not the end. And when that time ends, then you can bring out your increase, all of it, and tithe it. And you do that to fear Yahweh, because it belongs to him. Show him that you fear him and give him what belongs to him. So these are some of the reasons we even do this. But why does Yahweh want you to remember this today? Look in the book of Ezekiel, the 45th chapter. In Ezekiel, the 45th chapter, we'll start reading at verse 20. It says, "And so you shall do the seventh day of the month for everyone that errs, and for him that is simple. So shall you reconcile the house. In the first month of the 14th day of the month, you shall have the Passover, a feast of 7 days. Unleavened bread shall be eaten. Upon this day, that day, shall the prince prepare for himself and for all the people of the land a bullock for a sin offering. In 7 days of the feast, he shall prepare a burnt offering to Yahweh, 7 bullocks and 7 rams without blemish daily the 7 days, and a kid of the goats daily for a sin offering. And he shall prepare a meat offering of an ephah for a bullock, an ephah for a ram, and a hin of oil for an ephah. In the seventh month, in the 15th day of the month, shall he do the like in the feast of the 7 days, according to the sin offering, to the burnt offering, and according to the meat offering, and according to the oil." So there you have, in the future, Ezekiel letting us know that the 15th of the seventh month will be a feast just like the Feast of 7 days, and you will have the same offerings. I know you might have thought you read that wrong, but let me show you to you one more time. Verse 23, or verse 21. "In the first month, in the 14th day of the month, you shall have the Passover, a feast of 7 days. Unleavened bread shall be eaten. And upon that day shall the prince prepare for himself and for all the people of the land a bullock for a sin offering. In 7 days of the feast shall prepare a burnt offering to Yahweh, 7 bullocks and 7 rams without blemish daily, the 7 days, and the kid of the goats daily for a sin offering. And he shall prepare a meat offering of an ephah for a bullock, and an ephah for a ram, and a hin of oil for an ephah. In the 7th month, in the 15th day of the month, shall he do the like. The feast of 7 days, according to the sin offering, according to the burnt offering, and according to the meat offering, and according to the oil. The same offerings, and you shall do the same thing. And why would you do this? Why would Yahweh have you repeat this same thing in the future for the feast of 7 days in the 7th month? There must be something that is going on at that time, or that went on at that time, that would have us prepare the same offering. And I'm going to just show you, just in case you were wondering, is this the same thing for when we kept the Passover in the Feast of Unleavened Bread? Is it the same one that we did for the Feast of Tabernacles when Yahweh gave us this order? So if you go to the book of Numbers, the 28th chapter, you'll see. In the 28th chapter, in the 16th verse, it says, "And on the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of Yahweh. And the 15th day of this month is a feast of 7 days, shall be unleavened bread be eaten. In the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no manner of servile work therein. But you shall offer a sacrifice made by fire, burnt offering of Yahweh, 2 young bullocks and 1 ram, and 7 lambs of the first year. They shall be unto you without blemish." Now let's see if he wants the same thing. In the book of Numbers, the 29th chapter, and we'll begin reading in verse 12. It says, "And on the 15th day of the 7th month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work, and you shall keep a feast unto Yahweh 7 days. And you shall offer a burnt offering, a sacrifice made by fire, of sweet savor unto Yahweh, 13 young bullocks, 2 rams, and 14 lambs of the first year. They shall be without blemish." See, these are different. But in the future, it'll be the same. Now, what's going to happen in the future? Well, look what Yahweh let us know that he's going to do. In the future, Yahweh is going to do something a little different. If you look in the book of Jeremiah, the 16th chapter, in Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 14 reads, we'll start reading at verse 13. It said, "Therefore will I cast you out of this land into a land that you know not, neither you nor your fathers. And there you shall serve the other deities day and night, where I will not show you no favor," which is our case today. "Therefore, behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that it shall no more be said, Yahweh lives, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But Yahweh lives, that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands where he had scattered them. And I will bring them again into their land, and I will give to their fathers. So he's letting you know he's going to bring us out again. But not only is he going to bring us out, look what it says in the book of Zephaniah. In the book of Zephaniah, Zechariah. I was right the first time. Zephaniah, the third chapter. Zephaniah, the third chapter. Creator, let us know this. In verse 8. Therefore, wait upon me, saith Yahweh, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms and pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Why? Because the world put their hands on Israel. And he has a controversy with them. And he said in verse 9, for then will I return to the people of pure language, that they may call upon the name of Yahweh, to serve him with one consent. So after the Most High judges all the nations, which would be after he has brought us out of this nation, because he's going to judge this nation, bring us out, and then he's going to judge all the nations. And after he has done that, he said, then everyone will be able to call upon Yahweh with one consent. So look in the book of Zechariah. And in the book of Zechariah, let me show you the 8th chapter real quick, what it says in verse 20. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, it shall come to pass that there shall come people and inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before Yahweh and to seek Yahweh of hosts. I will go also. Yes, many people and strong nations shall come to seek Yahweh of hosts, to Jerusalem, and to pray before Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of him, of the skirt of him that is of Yehuda, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that Elohim is with you. So there is going to come this time where the nations want to come to Jerusalem. Well, in the book of Zechariah, the 14th chapter, we'll begin reading in the 13th verse. And it shall come to pass that in that day that a great tumult from Yahweh shall be among them, and they shall lay hold everyone on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse and the plague of the mule and of the camel and of the donkey and of all the beasts that shall be in those tents as this plague. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth to Jerusalem to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt goes not up and comes not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague with which Yahweh will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto Yahweh, and the pots in Yahweh's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yes, every pot in Jerusalem and in Yehuda shall be holiness unto Yahweh of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and boil therein. In that day there shall be no more Canaanite in the house of Yahweh. So we see that it will become a time where not only where the children of Israel will be able to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, the same as they kept the Passover and the Feast of 7 Days, they will keep the Feast of Tabernacles as a Feast of 7 Days, the same way, which means there's some type of liberation, and all nations have to come up at that time, because they're also being liberated. And the last scripture I'll show you is in Zechariah, the 14th chapter, that it says in verse 7, it says, "But it shall be one day which shall be known to Yahweh, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living water shall go forth from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and the other half toward the hinder sea. In the summer and in winter shall it be. And Yahweh shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Yahweh, and his name one." As he said, you will call on Yahweh with one consent. His name will be one, and everyone will come and worship Yahweh, the king, in the Feast of Tabernacles, a feast of 7 days. And this is how the Most High wants you to understand the Feast of Tabernacles in its past, even in its present, in its future. So until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do I. Shalom.
Yeah, 39 books. Yeah, come on. Yo. Keep thee out the book of Yah and read. Speak these words to plant the holy seed. Obey his voice, know him and believe. Understand his Yah is none but he. In the beginning, he told us the ending that we wasn't winning because of the sin and the 400 centuries. The child was defending. He was repenting. And this is our genesis. To our exodus, single thing. Learn from the second myth. So we can number our days. The teachings that we were the slaves. And Deuteronomy 28 is the most popular. When he anointed Joshua, it's proving that Yah loves us by sending his judges, rejecting the grudge, embracing the truth. Of the nations of truth is shown from Ruth, the woman that they will come through. Teach Samuel 1:8-2. Yah's chosen a king, and you want to. Recognition chronicles in the first and the second. And Ezra Hakohen, back by the river Ahava, stood with Nehemiah in the time of Hadassah, better known as Esther. Job struck with disease and boils affected. And we giving our arms while singing Hebrew songs. The most wisest words spoken in Proverbs. The collect, the teacher, Ecclesiastes, the preacher. Fellas want to reach us. Quote the song, the songs belong to Solomon. Understand the way that I'm on. Isaiah, Jeremiah, lamenting in Jerusalem fell. Also seen by Ezekiel. Vision, visits be given to Daniel. God said, return to him in prayer. Remember Hosea. If we call on Yahweh, he'll remember as well. Spoken by Yoel. No other book is famous for words, get deeper in Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, and Messiah. There's none like Yah that rides on the whirlwind in Nehemiah. I'm giving you a look like the air of Habakkuk. Gather yourselves and learn from Zephaniah. Consider your ways, word up to Hagiah. Cause this is the last days and men's Zechariah. Remember the law of Moshe. And this has been 39 books given to you by Isha. Malachi, seek me out the book of Yah and read. Words to plant your holy seed. Obey the voice, know and man believe. Understand is Yah is none but he. the Holy Seed. Obey his voice, no can man believe. Understand it's Yah, it's not the beast. Seek out the book of Yah. Seek out the book of Yah. Come on. Seek out the book of Yah. Seek out the book of Yah. Come on. Seek out the book of Yah. We rock.